The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Anyway, welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Yeah, it's not playing. I don't know.
In the studio with me and Paul Andrews, we have the lovely Adam Bennett and Luke Russell from Terra Firma Landscape. And guess what, Paul Andrews?
What?
They're tree fillers.
Oh, very good. Very
tree fillers.
Good. Yeah.
But actually, they are from London, and I found out they're from Streatham.
Right.
Where I used to frequent in my youth. Do you both live in Streatham?
No. You live quite far from London.
I do, yes. I live in Medway.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah, Medway, Gillingham.
Okay, Gillingham. And you live in Streatham?
No, Bromley.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So where's the Streatham bit then?
So that's the
office.
Yard. Yeah,
our
yard.
You have a yard?
We have a yard.
I'd love to have a yard. So we're going to be talking later on in the show to Adam Bennett and Luke Russell, and I shall be, of course, telling you about what's happened to me in lovely Valencia. We also have interviews from Women in Business Big Show. Don't let Paul Andrews call it anything else. It is the Women in Business Big Show.
Well, hopefully we do. I don't know why Omega Seg is not playing what I just played out. But anyway, let's go with it in any case. You're listening to the Business Bunker Show here on 95.1 FM, 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and she's back.
I'm back.
She's back. The stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Yes, I had a few scrapes while I was away. I had a very good 2 weeks, and as I was saying off air, didn't get dressed. It's funny, where we live out there, it's up on a mountain, and we've got little French neighbours on one side, and we've got German neighbours on the other side, neither of which we can really speak very well. So we spend the whole time, we went round and had aperitif with the French,
right.
And we spent the whole evening. You know, aperitif is quite formal. They're quite formal.
Aperitif?
Yeah. It's nothing to do with dentists.
Oh, right.
Yeah, aperitif.
Okay.
So when you go around, it's quite formal. So they don't, it's not like England where you just get smashed and carry on till 3 a.m. and then you do the okie-cokie and you turn around and you go home. It's quite formal. So you go around and we're all talking in like school, you know, mais oui, mais monsieur, you know, like that. Don't really speak French. And they were absolutely lovely. It's the first time we met them. And they lay out little nibbles. And I took a bottle of Cava, of course, my one weakness. And it's organic, so I don't get a hangover. So we had a bottle of Cava. New husband Gavin had vodka and tonic. And then they had that awful, which I hate, I refused it. What's that? Aniseed they drink.
Oh, absinthe.
Sambuca.
Oh, Sambuca.
No,
yeah.
That's Greek. Sambuca, isn't it?
Ouzo.
It's not French.
Ouzo?
No, that's Greek.
It's Greek.
what's the one they do? Ricard. Okay. R-I-C-A-R-D.
Yeah.
And I think it's aniseed. But if you want to Zorba, that's fine. Luke, you can Zorba. Anyway, so I refuse the Ricard because they water it down, don't they? To me, it's like, you'd like it, Paul Andrews. He's too total. But you'd like the aniseed bit because you love licorice.
True, yeah.
Ricard.
Yeah.
Ricard. Anyway.
Is that right, Ouzo?
Well, Luke's just telling you the whole, he's gone through the whole aniseed drinks.
Yeah, right, okay.
Well, he's been through the cabinet.
I think you might have mentioned I'm teetotal, so I wouldn't drink any of it, but yes, I do like licorice, and licorice tastes similar to aniseed.
Yeah, which I don't like. I like licorice, but I don't not really like aniseed.
There's no alcohol in licorice, that's why.
Anyway, so we had the nibbles, and it's quite refined, really lovely, really chatty, and then you get offered stuff, and then the French lady next to me, because I had other French neighbours, they're very, you know, they're very slim, not like me. And this lovely homemade pizza went round, and I had one slice, and then she passed it around again. And the lady, slim French lady next to me, went, mais non, you know, like this, and said, no more. So then, of course, I followed suit, because you do, don't you?
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd have looked like Fatty Arbuckle, the English woman. Oh, did you see how the English woman is eating? So I said no, and then the new husband said no. And then when we went home, he said, I really wanted more pizza. I said, so did I. And then that's all taken away. And then they bring out a little dessert, and then we had coffee, and we were in bed by 10:30. So it's all very refined.
That's very refined.
Yeah. It's started at 7:30 and ended. And that's quite common in France, that aperitif, where you would just have a lovely social. It was really, really refreshing. And then they go home and have their dinner, I suppose.
Well, you've got enough time, haven't you? Dinner
yeah.
parties.
Yeah.
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 Nice evening.
So it's very, very nice. But Luke, you carry on with your Ouzo and your, what was the other one you mentioned? I don't know.
Sambuca.
Sambuca is Italian.
Ah.
Now you've got me. And you have the little bits of coffee in it.
There's another one as well, isn't there? Was it Pernod?
Pernod, yeah. Pernod to you. Yeah.
Pernod.
Yeah, which is like Ricard.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we had that. And then I did a lot of lounging and reading. I'm reading a book by, I think it's Paul Nichols. Somebody Nichols, called, can't remember what it's called. I was trying to read
you
it.
You took a lot of it in then. Yeah.
No, well,
you know why you don't remember? Because you were drunk on Ricard, that's why.
No, I was not. But I was planning to read on the plane yesterday. So I was all, got on the plane, extra leg room, €25, but I got extra leg room. I'll tell you why I needed extra leg room in a minute, remind me.
Right.
Hammock Gate. We'll call it.
Hammock Gate.
We'll call it. Yeah. Anyway, so long story short, new husband gets the window seat, as usual, always gets the window seat, and we're by the emergency exits. So we had to do the whole thing, you know, bags up and everything. And I settle down with my lovely book, which I can't remember the name of, and it's really, really well written. It's by the author, Darren. You've got your web thing there. I've got Darren, lovely Darren, in the studio. If you Google Us, the book Us, by somebody Nichols, and see his other book. That's the one I'm reading. Anyway, so I sat down to read in the middle of the seats, and then this lovely Nigerian chap sat next to me. So I started chatting to him, as you do, hello, da da da, and we got talking. And he was from Nigeria, and then he worked in Rochester, so fabulous. I told him about Business Bunker, and then him and Gavin, I introduced them. Said my new husband's written a book on emerging markets. Nigeria's number one, the first one to invest in, and. Then I'm in the middle trying to read and they're shouting over my little head in the thing. So I said to the new husband, would you like to move, you know, discreetly through, I hissed through my teeth, would you like to move? So you, and he said, no. And I said, I want to read. And, you know, I'd been talking for an hour and he refused to move. So when we got off the plane, I was a bit ratty with him. I was. And he said, well, you started the conversation. I wanted to look out the window. But he was bleating in my ear for the whole thing across. I hope Lawrence isn't listening because he was lovely. Anyway, we swapped numbers and his wife and him are going to come over to Wolfson Oysters. Cool. Have you managed to sort your tech?
No, I've no idea why that isn't doing it. And what's worrying me is that if it's not outputting that, it won't output the music or the interviews either. So I'm not really sure why it's not doing that. It's odd. It may just be something in the studio, so the output may be... What we're doing now is fine. That's going out, yeah? It's this system which plays out tracks and things. Yeah. It played it, but you couldn't hear it, which you should be able to hear
They're really bored by this conversation now, because it's just, you know, it's tech, isn't it? We're bored by that. Hammockgate.
Yes, you were going to tell me about Hammockgate.
Yeah. Well, so we always have a hammock each, because we fight over them. So new husband's got his stringing from a palm tree. It's very Caribbean. Mm. This is Valencia, but loads of palm trees. So he's got his stringing. I get him. You've got to be careful. You know, if that rope isn't strong, you're going to break your back if you fall. It's really high up. So it's on a corner of the house and a bit of palm tree. And then he put me up rather a rickety old one. Which I sat in, and I was reading my book. Have you found it yet, Darren, by Nichols, Us? Oh, he's written it down. Let's have a
what
look.
What is it?
Us and One Day. I think it's One Day I'm reading then. Yeah, it is. And I've read all of them. I've read The Understudy. So David Nichols, Paul Nichols is a presenter or somebody.
Paul Nichols was an actor.
Yeah, blonde. Anyway, yes, I've read The Understudy. I've read that. So brilliant, brilliant book. I haven't read most of it because Gavin, the new husband, and Lawrence were jabbering over my head, so I had to put the book away. So I sat in the hammock reading, no alcohol involved. Next minute, as I'm climbing in, it tipped me over and I fell on my coccyx.
Oh. You fell on your what?
Coccyx.
It's not pleasant.
It's your little bone tail, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your little tail. It's only bruised, but so new husband, because it was a bit painful sitting down. But yeah, I fell, and that was number one. And then we got something else happening. I think there was a full moon. This is what it is. Shay, my son, his little house in Whitstable had a flood that his tenant didn't notice for God knows how many weeks. So he's got a bill of God knows what coming up. That happened. And then coming back at Stansted, we nipped into M&S. There's a tiny M&S there. Really small, as big as this studio, to get a few eggs and provisions. And I get my little wire basket, and I was wearing some very nice culottes with quite baggy trousers and quite baggy pockets.
I've got a track for that. Baggy trousers. Yeah.
Madness. So anyway, I'm going round, you know, from my holiday, got off the plane, getting eggs, getting things, getting a little sandwich for the new husband on the drive home. Next minute, I go to take the basket, which is now full of M&S goodies, and I couldn't unhook my trouser pocket from the metal basket. I was attached to the M&S metal basket. It wasn't funny.
So it was.
I then have to shout and squeak, you know, having stood there like trying to get this. It was literally, my trouser pocket was literally curled up in the little curly bit of the handle.
Right.
How? So I then squeaked to the new husband, can you help me? He said, how did you even get into this mess? I said, I don't know. I was just walking around with a basket. And then he was having to turn the basket round and round, and then all the food was falling out. So then after about 3 or 4 tries, we were standing in the middle of this very small shop, and I was getting extremely embarrassed. And I called to one of the, there was one guy filling shelves. I said, excuse me, could you help me? And I said, has this ever happened? He said, no, it's never happened before. And he was giggling. So we had to take all the food out and then literally twist the whole basket 3 or 4 times. We were going to have to cut it. They were going to cut my trousers to release me. Otherwise,
really?
I could
not
still be...
It's culottes. That's,
well, no. Yeah, culottes. No. That's right. And I could still be there if new husband... But he was like... And he was going, for God's sake, Jules, how only you could get attached to an M&S basket, wire basket. Then we got home. House has been locked up. The dog cost us £350 for doggy daycare. Live in. Wow. Very nice place, but 350. Got home, I'm going to tweet out the photo, and there was a huge, absolutely huge, I walked it, look at this, a huge pool on our lovely floor, and that is like about 8 footsteps. Look, Paul Andrews.
What is it?
It looked like a murder scene, yes. Right?
Right, what was it?
And obviously, when you see that on your kitchen floor, you look up at the ceiling, nada, nothing. So... I didn't want to, you know, I was like smelling it.
taste it.
Yeah.
That's dog wee.
Dog wasn't there. So we found out afterwards, you know, obviously the fridge is the other side, but we think the fridge is just a fridge, but it had iced up.
Right.
It's a Neff, if anybody's listening. And we reckon that the water had just travelled somehow.
Defrosted cycle.
It was all frosty, and it's a fridge.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so I had to mop it all up. So that's why I'm a bit frazzled, really.
Well, at least it wasn't a murder.
It wasn't a murder.
That is a benefit, isn't it?
Yeah, but
listen.
What do you think of that, though? Can that travel all that way and not be anywhere else? It must have come under and come up.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Right. I need to speak to a water specialist.
You do.
Because water can travel, can't it, in very funny ways.
Mm-hmm. I need to try something, otherwise this show's going to go to pot.
Ricard?
No, because I don't know if I can play these interviews or not, yeah?
Okay.
So I don't know whether it's a problem in the studio or a problem outbound, and nobody's told me, and none of the listeners have told me yet, even though I've asked a dozen times. So I'm going to play something to see if it plays outbound, if you see what I mean. It's just an advert, okay?
Here we go. Gird your loins. Nothing.
And none of the listeners have told me yet, even though I've asked a dozen times. So I'm going to play something to see if it plays outbound.
Here we go. He's actually listening to himself on the on air.
No, afraid not. So what we're going to do is we're going to change the format, if it's all right with you guys. We're going to talk to you two guys first.
Okay.
In a minute, we'll give you a bit of time to
they're ready. They've had Ashford water.
Yeah.
Which is enough to make any fridge.
Yes.
The chlorine in it is quite...
That's delicious.
Yeah, yeah. You're going green as you drink.
Yeah, my mouth feels clean.
I'm going to ask you a little question about being a tree feller. Are you an arboriculturist?
An arboriculturist.
Yeah. That is the word, isn't it?
Well, I think one of the words. I think arborist is.
Oh, arborist. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's one part. That's the tree part of the business. Yeah. Yeah. So.
That's Adam talking. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
But do you go to college and study arboricultural, or do you learn it on site? You know, hands on, or.
You know, both. To be honest with you, you can go for you can get qualifications in it, or a lot of it is hands on experience. So. There's nothing like doing it, and you can't really teach. I mean, you can teach climbing a tree, but it's a lot nicer to get your hands on and get up there.
And how did you two meet?
Well, our story's quite an old story, to be honest. Yeah.
So
we used to work for... We both gained the retail black belt, really,
yeah.
Haven't we? Worked in retail a long time, and we worked in Halfords together.
Did you?
Yeah. Okay. I was the assistant manager. Luke was the duty manager.
Yeah.
And, we then parted ways for a few years and...
Mm-hmm. Went off doing different things.
Exactly right, yeah. And then I joined Terra Firma. Terra Firma started growing and needed a good assistant manager there.
Yeah.
And I thought, I know a good assistant manager. Mm-hmm. And, reconnected with Luke and, here we are today. Yeah.
And you're based Streatham office.
Yes, yeah.
And how many arboriculturists or tree fellers do you employ?
Well, we've got one/two tree teams, and then we've got six landscaping teams. So
six. Wow.
Yeah.
What territory do you cover? How far will you go?
Mainly just South London. We do go out into Kent, and we do some North London, but a lot of the sort of SW postcodes.
Because there's a lot of big established trees in London, and we were talking off air, weren't we, about how councils, in fact, I've got quite a few pictures which I'll put out on air again later on Twitter.
Yeah.
So Greenwich, for example, they're chopping down trees because of the pavement for the safety of pedestrians. And it makes me sad when you see an established, beautiful tree being cut. Mm-hmm. And especially when we know we're all trying to help the environment by planting trees.
Yeah.
So if you get root problems, is there another way that you can, like, say a pavement that's coming up? Because I was saying maybe you can just put a barrier around it so that people don't go on the bit of pavement, or maybe you take that pavement up and put soil on it and make, you know.
You can do. It's the thing is with trees, they're living things, so they're always going to move in different ways that you're not going to know. So pavements have to be a certain width anyway. So a lot of the trees that you find that have been taken out, they're interrupting that space that you should have for pedestrians. Mm. Yes, you can put things around it, but the older the tree gets and the larger it gets, the more their root system gets established, it will always lift the paving. So there's not an amazing amount you can do. Mm. It's a shame to take out healthy trees. There are a lot of trees that go down which people don't know about they're not very healthy and they are dangerous. Mm. But we've seen on the news recently lots of stuff about healthy trees being taken down.
Yeah, it is really a thing, isn't it?
It's awful. Yeah, it's terrible.
And I remember Dutch elm disease. So is that in your remit now, or has that died out, Dutch elm?
It's out and about still. But there's a lot of things that you get that are there's so many different. A lot of times it's older trees that you have to take down, so you'll find that they look healthy, but then you do a scratch test on them or you pull a branch
and they get porous.
Yeah, exactly. And that then you can, out of nowhere, a high wind can come and it can, they're heavy, like tree branches are very, very heavy. And if that comes down, it's
do you ever save any for wood burners and things, because we've all got wood burners? Okay.
Yes, definitely.
And then you store it so it matures, or you just give them to let people take it green and then they
either or, to a lot of it gets chipped, but we do have a wood store on at the yard, which is, there's tons and tons there. You do have to let it sit for a while and dry out before you can actually use it properly. But
did you want to say something?
Yeah, I think I'll fix it.
Good.
So it all depends what you want to do, whether you want to go back to the ordinary format and then we'll talk to these guys in the second part of the show, or whether you want to carry on now.
Well, should we go back to the original? Should we start
again?
Should
we do that? Are you all right with that, guys? We'll talk to you some more in the second half of the show.
We're going to be hearing from Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, aren't we?
Well, Sarah Marsh Collins and Gemma Fairclough-Haynes.
Yeah.
We got some cheesy chinnies to play first.
Yeah.
Let me just... this is a bit of a wing and a prayer, because I think I've fixed it, but I'm not sure. Until I press the button, I will never know.
He loves a drama.
Anyway, if this works, it's the cheesy tunage.
Here we come.
Monkey!
Walk down the street.
Mabel Monkey.
Get the funniest jokes.
You see what I did there?
I love the
everyone
monkey.
We meet.
Hey, I got caught by a monkey once.
Sorry?
I got covered up by a monkey once.
Right. Yeah. You're trying to play it.
Sticky Donuts.
To put anybody down. We go where we want to. Do what we like to do. We don't want time to get restless. There's always something new. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys. And people say we monkey around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly. Come and watch us sing and play. We're the young generation. And we've got something to say. Oh. Time or anywhere, just look over your shoulder. Guess who'll be standing there? Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down. Say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly. Come and watch us sing and play. We're the young generation, and we've got something to say. We're the monkeys.
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys. Hey, the monkeys there. And we heard, or we're going to hear, from Sarah Marsh Collins of Babel Monkey Media. You what?
She's the Babel Monkey.
Yeah, she is. Last time she was on, I found a really good track. I didn't want to do it again, but the title of the track was unbelievable. It was Tweeter the Monkey Man.
Oh, yeah.
How
yeah.
good was that, wasn't it? But I didn't want to play again, so I thought I'd just go with the monkeys.
Amy Winehouse sang that as well, didn't she? The Monkey Man, Here Comes the Monkey Man.
She sang Here Comes the Monkey Man, not Tweeter and the Monkey Man. That was the Wilburys.
Yes.
Right. Back in August now, at the Women in Business Big Show, our roving reporter, Laura Lawrence, touched base with Sarah Marsh Collins of Babel Monkey Media. Let's hear what they had to say.
Right, I'm now here with Sarah Marsh Collins of Babel Monkey.
Babel Monkey.
Let me get that right. Babel Monkey. So we're going to find out exactly what Babel Monkey do.
Okay, so we are a digital marketing and PR agency. We're Babel Monkey because monkeys sociable, create chatter. It's all about the sort of social aspect of things. And Babel comes from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, from the Babel fish that used to translate for the aliens, and basically Babel Monkey translates the world of social media and marketing and PR. So that's basically what we do.
And what sort of businesses do you help?
Most of our stuff is B2B, because LinkedIn is kind of the main focus for social. However, I mean, it does go across the board, but most of them are B2B. And a lot of them are very technical, which I think is a bit unusual. But that's not to say that we don't have sort of regular Joes, if you like. So we have some life coaches. But we also have people like, well, I have one company that designs and builds spectrometers. I have one that does stereo vision camera systems. Used to work with cybersecurity. We've worked with IT people. I've got a health and safety consultant. So you know, it's a big range.
Okay, and Sarah, if you can just tell us how long you've been going for and how you actually started the business, because you are the founder,
indeed,
after all.
Yeah, sure. So I founded Babel Monkey in 2014, so we've been around for a little while now. And it was a bit of an accident, actually. So I used to work in marketing for a company based at Brands Hatch, just up the road. And an opportunity came up with a company in Toaster, and I thought, oh, that you know, I could use a change. I've been here a really long time. So I went to do that, and it really didn't work out. It wasn't a good fit. And I found myself sort of, I'd been in Buckingham for about 2.5 months. I'd bought a house, and I didn't have an income. My old boss rang me and said, I really need somebody to continue doing all of my blogs and all of my marketing. And I thought, well, why not? Let's give it a go. So it literally kind of, I fell into it, and I grew it from there. So,
and how easy, I mean, we're here now in sort of Kent and Medway, and they have masses of different support networks for women who are starting a business. So you were over in Toaster, so far away from here. Did you find that there was a similar level of support available to somebody who was starting their own business?
Not at all, no. I'm afraid I was very much on my own. Luckily, I have a good friend who I actually used to work for many, many years ago, and he's now a client, and he suggested to me that I go and talk to a social media agency in Northampton, and they gave me a lot of support and a lot of training, which was fantastic, and I worked with them for years, as well as my own stuff, if you see what I mean. So, I moved away from them, and then I moved back down to London, so there's a lot more support around here, and also these days there seems to be a lot more support anyway. I think it's become quite recognised that startups and small businesses are really the lifeblood of the economy, and the government needs to do more to support them. So in some respects they are helping with that in terms of, you know, sort of some of the putting funding out there for people to get training and that sort of thing. But yeah, more could be done, I'm sure. That's what the FSB is all for, isn't it?
So. Well, exactly. And I will be talking to Deborah a bit later actually to get more of an insight in how the FSB can help. So you're 9 years on now, which is a great amount of time for a business. So you've managed to sort of see yourself through the whole COVID time. I mean, how did that affect you? I've been talking to lots of businesses this morning who started up during that period. But how did you find it for your business? What impact it had?
That's an interesting one. So because obviously we're in the digital sphere, I'm reasonably visible in my network because I used to do a lot of FSB hosting events and stuff. So a lot of people knew me, and it was almost like I became their safety blanket. So people kept ringing me just because they were so freaked out about the fact that the world had stopped. So there was an awful lot of that going on. I found myself giving away a lot of my time for free, coaching people on how to set up LinkedIn profiles and things like that, because they'd not taken their businesses or their personal brand online and had no idea how to do it. And I really felt like these people don't have any income at the moment, and everybody's in a flat spin. So I used to run sort of free half-hour training courses for groups of people and stuff like that. So, and with some friends, we set up the business continuity support, which was twice a week. We'd have a half-hour meeting, and we'd invite speakers that could actually deliver their expertise in how to get funding, what was out there, how to use Trello, how to use Zoom, how to build a LinkedIn profile, all of those sorts of things. So, in some respects, it was great for me in terms of it gave me the opportunity to raise the profile of the company within the area even more, but certainly financially, I was quite lucky because most of my clients weren't affected by it, or they were funded slightly differently. So they were still working, so I still had money coming into the business. But I was very, very fortunate. And certainly I didn't pick up any new clients for a few months because nobody had the money.
That's it. But it's been a sort of an interesting bag, actually, listening to the different stories of, you know, either people lost their jobs and started a new, you know, their own business through it all, or how we all just, you know, businesses like you, like myself, who sort of managed to get through it all. Now, I have to say, you've got a really nice logo. A lot of people, they don't sort of often think about the logos. But where did you, I guess you did explain earlier, actually, how you came up with the name. Mm. For you, how important is it for a business to have a good, strong logo?
Well, it's not just about the logo. I think it's really important to have a good, strong brand. And the brand goes behind the logo. So the logo should be kind of a visual representation of it. But you've got to have the backup to it. So if you listen to any of our elevator pitches, pictures. When we go to networking events, we talk about the fact that if social media is driving you bananas, video killed your radio chimp. If you want your blogs to be the monkey's nuts, come to Babel Monkey. And we talk about things being more fun than a barrel of monkeys. And occasionally we say, not our circus, not our monkeys. You know, things like that. So the branding actually carries all the way through, and the logo is just the start of it. But actually my logo was designed by a lady called Krishna Mistry, and she is she's got her own company, Lemon Frog Design. She's up in Buckingham, or Toaster now, and she was literally my next door neighbour, and she was stuck at home with three young boys and really wanted something to do with a creative outlet. She'd always been a graphic designer, and I said to her, look, I sort of need some help with this. So I've had the logo literally since day one, and it hasn't changed, because it's just cute, it's fun, and that's what the brand is about. We want people to be able to have fun with their marketing. It's not supposed to be, I mean, yes, you need results, but life should have more fun to it. And so there's an element whereby we make sure that people have fun when they work with us.
I absolutely love that. I always, whenever I'm writing articles for magazines and things like that, I always think that if you can make somebody smile, they're going to, A, they're going to remember you, and B, they're going to tell their friends. So I do believe that making people smile is one of the key things for a strong marketing campaign.
Yeah, certainly when it's like Zoom meetings and stuff. I mean, my branding guy is absolutely wonderful, and so my Zoom background is actually bright blue, and I didn't realize how clever that was. But when you're actually on a Zoom or the Muppet Show with, you know, 40 other people, my brand really sticks out because you've got this bright blue. So they initially get that, and then to support that, because the elevator pitch involves, you know, monkeys nuts, it always gets a laugh. So most people have gone to sleep because they've heard like 50 people spending a minute talking about what they do, and it gets, I mean, it's tiring, isn't it, when you're just sitting there listening to people.
Yeah.
And then by the time we get to this bit, and it actually makes people laugh, and it kind of, you can feel the energy start to change even online. So, and as you say, that's what people remember. They're just like, oh yeah, you were, yeah, that's you, isn't it? That's you, yeah.
That's it.
So it's really important. And again, it's all part of the branding. So it's the whole thing, right through from the logo to your elevator pitches, even to your out of office. So my out of office at the moment says I'm monkeying around at the Women in Business Big Show. So, you know, it's just stuff like that. It's important.
It is. Well, there you go. I mean, obviously, not every business can inject humour into what they do. Some are a bit more serious. But if you can, really do utilise it. Sometimes a bit of corniness can go a long way. So
yeah, absolutely. And even on Fridays, you know, even the most serious of businesses can usually have something that's a little bit softer on a Friday, because people are up for that.
Exactly. Now, if people want to get in touch with you to find out more about how you can help them, how do they do that?
Okay, so we are, our website is www.babelmonkey, that's B-A-B-E-L monkey.co.uk. We're also on Twitter as Babel Monkey Me. We're on LinkedIn. You can look me up. I'm Sarah Marsh Collings. I am the only one in the world. I have Googled that, actually. So, we do have a Facebook presence as well as Babel Monkey. So we're kind of all over the place. The only thing we don't have is an Instagram, because I tend to outsource my own Instagram.
Does your business have great customer service? Are you a successful small or large business? Are you creative or innovative? Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout them out. So what's stopping you? Enter the Kent Business Awards now. Get your easy-to-complete application form from businessawardskent.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Okay, so I'm here with Gemma Fairclough. She's the Orchard Employment Law expert. And, she's here, one of the sponsors of the Women in Business Big Show. She's also a lady that I have encountered over the years. And it's always wonderful seeing you sort of grow and prosper. But for people who don't know what it is exactly you do and who you help, can you explain?
Absolutely. So I'm the owner of Orchard Employment Law, and we do what it says on the tin, which is to help businesses with employment law and HR, because it's quite scary. It's quite a scary thing if you don't know what you're doing, and it's one of the fastest changing laws in the UK, and so you need people to keep you up to date. So that's what I do, as well as being a keynote speaker, and I've given a talk here today on first steps to growing your team, and that's us.
And so what size businesses, who what sort of businesses do you help?
So we're in business, we work with businesses of all industries, both public sector, private sector and the third sector. So we're not forgetting those charities, and we're quite passionate about helping charities. And so what we do is we give them a 20% discount. It might be a micro business who's taking on their very first employee. We'll do something like a contract for them. But then we've got retained clients who are on support packages. They're on like 300 to 400 staff members that they have. And so they need that ongoing helping hand and support to give them peace of mind.
Now, you've been around for a little bit of time. So when you started your business, what were you doing before and what made you start your own business up?
So, surprise, surprise, I was an employment law specialist beforehand. And I was at risk of redundancy 3 times in a row. And I really, every time I spoke to somebody about, oh, have you got a job? They kept saying, well, why don't you start up on your own? And I was like, I don't want to do that. And then eventually I thought, if I'm going to be constantly at risk of redundancy, then I might as well take the risk for myself. You know, the risk is mine. So I said, well, I'll give myself 12 months and 8 years later, I'm still here.
And so you are. So whereabouts are you based?
We're based in Dragon Co-working at Rochester, which is a wonderful collaborative space. But, you know, we've been so fortunate that, you know, with the aid of technology, we have clients not only, and staff actually nationally, we have clients in Northeast and the East Anglia as well. And we've actually got 2 international clients, so we're global, baby.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, I just want to touch upon the fact of that you're based in a co-working space. Now, I think Kent is one of those areas that is really, really vibrant with co-working spaces. Other parts, I know Sussex, where I'm based, slightly slower on the take-up of it. What would you say are the benefits of being a business and working out of that kind of environment?
I think there are so many benefits for us. I mean, we have an office within the co-working space because what we do is highly confidential, and so we couldn't just be out there in the ether. If we weren't highly confidential, we'd be hot desking with everybody else. So for us, we're naturally networking every day. You've got the support of people who are doing things just like what you're doing. You've got people who you can refer clients to and they can refer clients to you. It keeps that spark going because sometimes being in business is incredibly lonely. So having, you know, building business friends, that's what they become, business friends. You've got people you can go to and share with.
I love that term, actually, business friends, because I just sort of friends that I've made in business. But actually, having a name for them is really, really nice. It makes them almost like more special. They're part of that crowd. Now, I suppose another sort of advantage of being somewhere like Dragon Co-working allows you to grow your business more easily than if you'd actually bought or were leasing an office space yourself.
I mean, there's a few reasons for that. One of it is the cost. So we pay an overall cost and then we don't have to worry about additional costs as such from an overhead perspective. But also for me, being a small team, I wanted my team members to feel like they're part of something bigger, which they are. So they've got, you know, some colleagues without the politics. And also when you're in a place like Dragon Co-working, they constantly put on events. And so they do that so I don't have to do so much of it, which is great. Yeah.
Basically, they look after your staff, so you don't need to give them any treats because it's all done at Dragon.
Exactly.
Sounds like a win-win situation. Now, when you did start up Orchard's Employment Law, how did you sort of initially start getting the business in?
So it took me 6 months to get my first client. I was incredibly green. I had no idea. I didn't know what networking was. I didn't know what anything was. And I went along to a local chamber event, and from there I met more people who introduced me to more people, and I networked prolifically for about 2 years, and I don't network quite as much now, but it has served me. I'm still getting business from those early days.
And which sort of groups were you networking at? So anyone who's listening to this thinks about, well, how do you choose where to network? Because now we're sort of at a time when we're bombarded with really a variety of different networks.
So I networked everywhere. I did. I literally did. So I attended Business Over Breakfast as many times as I could. I attended BNI as Visitor as many times as I could. I did Women in Business, Ladies Who Latte, I did ABC, I did FSB Chamber, any event. I didn't sign up to the organisations initially because pennies were precious, but what I would do is if I could go along either for free or for a low cost or for an ad hoc charge, I would do that. And then after a year, I had a look at the networking I was doing. I kept a track of it. That that's something I was really good. And where I got the most inquiries, that's where I continue to network. And where I got the least inquiries and follow-ups and referrals, that's when I dropped those networks.
I think you do, because you need to actually be in the office to do the work for those clients that you're getting. You can't be out, as much fun as it is, you know, in the amount of coffee you get to have, you do need to sort of draw that line. And how have you found today? How was your talk earlier?
My talk was really good. I got some lovely questions. For me, that's where the value is in the Q&A, because I could talk for hours, you probably gathered. But the Q&A is where you get the most value. And today's just been really lovely. We've had some great conversations with existing and new contacts. So, yeah, it's been wonderful.
Brilliant. Lovely to talk to you, Gemma. And we've got the last, I mean, it's getting on now, the day. But anyway, enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you, will do.
So that was Sarah Marsh Collins of Babel Monkey Media and Gemma Fairclough Haynes of Orchard Employment Law, the Women in Business Big Show, interviewed by our roving reporter Laura Lawrence. Right, we can catch up. We've had quite a few hundred tweets, and so we need to start reading some of them. I've had Justin Dean of Creative Motion asking for a shout out.
Heard from him for ages.
Yeah,
lovely.
Creative Motion are a video content company and audio visual specialist.
They filmed us.
They did, and he's about to do it again as well.
Is he?
He's putting together another video for us.
We all look a little bit older, though, weren't we?
No, I've sorted that. he asked for loads of photographs, so I've given him all the old ones from 10 years ago.
Oh, I've got the pictures
of me
too.
And all the ones of you recently.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
thanks.
No, it's all right.
Because my roots need doing. They're
yeah.
Tomorrow.
So do mine.
Yeah. Your roots get larger and larger.
Yeah, they do.
We had a lovely tweet from our friends Chips and Dinks, who are probably doing up lovely cars and alloys as we speak. So they say, is it coincidence, Vanilla Webb, that Jules Serkin is back on Terra Firma and your guest, Adam Bennett and Luke Russell, are on the show today?
Yeah.
See what they did there?
Yeah, we planned it.
Very clever. And they said, looking forward to hearing from Babel Monkey Me and Gemma Fairhay. And that's on Twitter, they're J-E-M-M-A, Fair, F-A-I-R, and then H-A-Y, and Babel Monkey Me, M-E, after. That's their Twitter handles. They say, looking forward to hearing from you all, and no doubt hearing all about Jules's holiday, food, and more. I ate 3 paellas while I was away.
A day.
Yeah. And I had a seafood one.
Right.
All seafood. And then I had one with little bits of rabbit in, which made me feel a bit sad. So I gave the rabbit to my new husband, and I ate the prawns, the gambas.
Right.
Lots of garlic, lots of aioli.
So you don't want to eat rabbits, but you don't mind eating fish?
Yeah, no, I don't feel emotionally attached to a fish, but I feel...
But you feel emotionally attached to rabbits?
Little bunnies, yeah.
Little
furry things. And I try not to think about chickens and things, because I also like chickens.
You like everything? What are you rambling about? I go away, she goes, bring me back a haunch of venison.
Yeah.
See, don't mind eating a deer.
No. Well, I try not to think about the haunch and where it comes from, but... So a big hello to Chips and Dinks. They did my alloys and they were brilliant. Then we've had Battery Garden Machinery.
Oh, I was going to read that.
Oh, well, do you want
to? No, you can read it now.
Well, that he
you
says...
You started reading it.
He says, I will be driving during the show today, so I've just rigged up my laptop by Bluetooth to the van radio, so I will be listening live. Isn't that clever?
It is, but unnecessary.
Well, he wants to... what would you suggest?
Well, if you got a phone or a tablet, just download Get Me Radio app and it's already done for you.
Well, who knew? I didn't know that.
You should really look at everything I send you. It's on everything.
I try not to.
I know, but it's on everything. Anyway, it's a free app, Get Me Radio, it's called, and all you do is look up Channel Radio on there, and Bob's your auntie.
And just to fill you in, Battery Garden Machinery expert, battery_gardens, with a plural, on the Twitter, and they've been selling Battery Garden Machinery for over 10 years, and they know the good from the bad and the ugly, and they say there's a lot of ugly ones out there. We are Mopower in Kent, and we let you take the battery machines home to try in your own garden. And they had a sit-on one that you should have tried. I don't know if you did ever.
A sit-on what?
Sit-on... battery thing.
A sit-on battery.
Machinery.
Any idea what the sit-on did?
Garden. Mower.
A sit-on garden. It's a mower,
was it?
Mower.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And then Sarah Marsh Collins has popped up.
Yeah.
And she says, sorry, ooh, she says, I've been on the phone all day and I've missed loads of the show.
That's not good enough.
very tardy. And she says, I'm here now and we'll get the rest on catch up. And she's put a, there's a GIF or a GIF, I never know how to call it, of Lady Gaga.
Ah, cool.
I think it's Gaga on the phone.
Yeah, Michael Pike, Michael Parks Surveyors said, thank you, we'd love a shout out, Paul and Jules, on the show, and we are listening in. And that's the lovely folks at Michael Parks Surveyors.
And DG
Commercial
East.
Surveyors.
DG
Let
East.
Me finish, but she interrupts all the
go
time.
On.
She just talks over me. I don't know why I'm here. Adam, I don't know why I bother. I really don't.
Well,
I mean, it's
the dual show, isn't
well,
it?
Yeah, it is really.
Well,
yeah.
I am on Spanish time, and it's nearly time for my siesta.
You're on Spanish what?
Time.
It's better than Spanish
time.
Fly.
What is a Spanish fly?
It's an aphrodisiac.
Is it?
Yeah.
Get me some. Be lovely. Sure, the new husband would be
delighted. It's got rabbit in it, though. You wouldn't like it.
No. DG East, our dear friends listening in, they say, hi, Jules and your little helper. Please can you give a shout out to a busy vehicle supplier still waiting for new vehicles to arrive.
Have you seen this?
Hang on. Thankfully, they are not restricted by the length of their charging leads. And that is, hang on, DG East number one. They're an independent contract hire and leasing provider of cars and commercial vehicles to both private and business customers. They can get you new and used vehicles to order, and you can find them on dgeast.co.uk.
Have you seen this week the amount of people with EVs that have gone into meltdown over their insurance? $5,000 to insure a car.
Yeah.
And half the insurance companies are refusing to insure them anymore.
I saw John Lewis have scrapped their EV.
They've scrapped it, yeah.
And my friend, my nutritionist, actually, she's lovely, Christine Bickley, who's on the Twitter, was saying that her neighbour was unable to actually recharge theirs. They had to wait like 10 days for somebody to come out. They couldn't just go to Halfords and start it up.
Well, apparently, a lot of the insurance companies are refusing to insure them or charging through the nose, charging through the nose, because the cost of repair is so large. Mm-hmm. And if you damage the battery, it's extortionately large. So a lot of insurance companies are now either charging $5,000-$6,000 a year or won't insure them at all. A bit dodgy, that, isn't it?
It is very, very worrying. And I was listening on the way in to, I don't know if I took a picture of talk radio. No, I don't know if I think I did. Well, yes, I did. I was listening to James O'Brien on LBC, sorry, not talk radio. And he was talking about 15-minute cities, but I only got the very, like, 10 minutes of it. And somebody called in about 15-minute cities to say that they didn't like them and they thought that they were going to be stopping us from having freedom. That, and he absolutely would not let him get a word in.
No, well, he won't. No,
would
he's
not
an
let
idiot.
Him get a word in. And other idiots are available, of course.
Yeah, but he's the best.
Yeah. And then somebody else phoned up, sort of praising them and saying the, you know, why they thought 15 minutes. And he let her ramble on for an hour.
The whole thing's nonsense. Listen, if you live in a city or a large town within 15 minutes walking distance of anywhere, you're already doing it.
Yeah.
You
exactly.
don't need the government to pass a law to tell you to do it. If you live somewhere normal, like most of us, in a rural area or a small town, or somewhere where the facilities aren't within 15 minutes of walk, no amount of government legislation is going to implement a 15-minute city, because they'd have to rebuild the entire town. You take the town I live in, yeah? We don't have a dentist, we don't have a hospital, and we don't have a school. So how we're going to walk anywhere 15 minutes is beyond me.
Well,
it's just ridiculous.
Just look at Canterbury, for example, city, where they wanted to put in a 15-minute city, and they were shouted down for the moment. They've closed all the shops anyway. They're all boarded up, apart from Fruitworks.
Yeah.
But there isn't a baker, really, apart from Greg's. There's not a local baker. There's not a local butcher.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot go and get what you need from there.
Right.
So, and life isn't like that. If you've got kids, mine are grown up now, but I would drop one at school when they were young, then go on somewhere else. That's what life is.
You should go to the pub.
Yeah, go to the pub, go to work.
Then go and get breakfast and then back to the pub.
In fact, the buses are so bad that my mum, Ruth, who's 93, gets the bus to go places. She often misses appointments because the bus hasn't turned up.
We don't even have a bus in my town. We've got a station, but it's steam trains.
Oh, useful.
Although, to be fair to them, they are building a link. The Tenterton Steam Railway goes from Tenterton to Bodmin. It's a lovely, antiquated, historic steam railway. Mm. Yeah, and it's a tourist attraction. They're laying some new track, and they're laying track to Roberts Bridge. Well, Roberts Bridge is a network station. And once they've laid the track there, they could take that steam train all the way into London.
Wow.
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would make the greenies go mad.
Yeah, it would.
Shoveling coal into a steam train as it charges through the congestion zone. Can you imagine that? All you lads, cameras flashing at the Flying Scotsman as it piles through.
It's very interesting. In how long we got? Yeah, we've got 5 minutes. In Valencia, where we are, there was a beautiful, beautiful, unspoilt beach, a little cove, and you could walk down or you could drive, and it's, you know, forest pines and all that. And there was a little restaurant on there and a little loo and that. We used to stay there all day, lovely. And the council now there, what, they're not really councils, have made it impossible to get down there. It's on a mountain.
Right.
So I couldn't walk. I could walk, but it would practically kill
me. Abseil.
And then they've got all these parking spaces that they've marked off. You have to pay £12.50. And then there's cameras everywhere. So the new husband went down in the morning while I was still snoozing. He went down about 6 in the morning. And the camera was going, taking his picture as he walked to this beautiful little cove, which was unspoilt. And now there's signage everywhere.
Yeah.
There's cameras everywhere. And they have absolutely ruined this piece of paradise.
Mm.
Which, yeah, bonkers. And they're bringing 15-minute cities there as well. So
it's everywhere. It's, you know, none of these people have thought up any of this on their own, for goodness sake.
No.
Kim Stevens has been on.
Hello.
Yeah, Karen Kent lady. She says, hello, I'd really love a deafening shout-out on the Business Bunker show. Karen Kent provide a local home care service and will always arrive when we say we will. Are you ready to get help? Give us a call on Ashford 01233 619530. That's Ashford 01233 619530, or you can email them at info@caringkent.co.uk, or you can check out their website, which is caringkent.co.uk. So hello Kim and the team at Caring Kent.
Phil Wilson, Pip Drums, you want to read that?
Oh, yeah. No, go on, you can read it.
So he says, listening today in the back of a tour bus for a change. Mm. I love that vision, don't you? Phil on drums rolling about in the back of a tour bus.
Mm-hmm.
On the way to Portsmouth, Abergavenny, Dunstable and Glasgow. Keep up, he says. Taking the sound of Mark Bolan and T-Rex around the UK with T-Rexacy Band. That is the Twitter handle, T-Rexacy Band. And Phil, of course, was the drummer with Mud. And you can find him going around on tour now,
yeah.
Drumming.
Yep, they've been playing a UK tour. They're halfway through. As Phil says, they're their next venues. Fantastic band, T-Rex. So, they're really good.
Mm.
Yeah.
He was apparently there's something called the UK Drum Show, and he wasn't able to go because he was on tour, but did you know that? There's a UK drum show.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I want to start playing the bongos. I think bongos are very relaxing.
Really?
Yeah, better than biting my nails, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best business events. A big thank you to Griffin Law UK for sponsoring the Best of Award Awards Kent. Have you put in your entry for the Kent Business Awards yet? More info and to enter, which is free. It's free, quick and simple. You can enter the Kent Business Awards at businessawardskent.co.uk. It's coming up to awards time, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm busy every weekend now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Comparing.
I am. I'm doing, my next one is this weekend. I'm doing the Kent Deaf Children's Children of Achievement Awards. Mm-hmm. And then 2 weekends after that, I'm doing the Seven Oaks Business Awards. And then I'm doing the Kent Business Awards. And then I'm doing the Bromley Business Awards.
Do you see Sally Laker at the Kent Deaf Children Awards? Is she still
occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her kids have grown up now, so...
Have they? Gosh, that makes us very old. They used to be young, didn't they?
Yeah.
Didn't we all?
They used to be young, and then time passes and you get old. It's a funny concept, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Age. Yes. Hair.
Yeah.
Whiskers.
Yeah, see, she had to bring hair into it.
Yeah, whiskers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my new husband's going quite grey and he's got long hair.
Right.
And he was coming through the airport the other day and I didn't really recognise him. I saw
You didn't recognise your own husband?
Kind of grey person coming through.
Okay.
It happens.
Tracy Ferguson's been on. Hi, Paul and everyone, and welcome back, Jules. Looking forward to enjoying another fabulous Business Mug show.
And Tracy and Sarah are talking to each other, but you can find Tracy on Plucky's World. It's pluckysworld.com. That's PLUCKYS, pluckysworld.com. She is a supporting self-awareness, personal growth trainer and a mentor. And she says the time to do what you love is now.
Absolutely.
Exit the studio.
She sent me a tweet of Bob the Builder as well.
Yes, because you fixed it.
Because I fixed it, apparently. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Well done.
And she says, Tracy's been on again. She says, I'm really looking forward to hearing from the guys from Terra Firma. So we're doing that. And then I've come across a picture of Jules with her wee stained floor.
Yeah. it is bizarre. I really thought, you can see why I thought, it's huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's quite a way away from the fridge. But the boys, are, you know, they're very techie, these boys. They've been saying it can travel. Water travels, doesn't it?
It does indeed, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not a freezer, it's a fridge.
Yeah.
So I was quite surprised that it had an ice monster.
Was it still cold when you got home?
The fridge was working, yeah. But it's just pools of water in the fridge. Like, I've got trays. I'm very neat. I've got little.
So
little
someone's
pots.
Left the door open. Or not closed, probably, haven't they? And it's defrosted.
Now. But it's a fridge, not a freezer.
Yeah, but you must have cold stuff in there.
Yeah. Okay, well.
That's what a fridge is for,
isn't
it?
Funny you say that, because the door does stick.
Oh, it's
often
obvious.
I find that door open.
It says fridge stood in a pool of water. What calls that?
So that is because the door. Well, I'm going to text my new husband now and tell him that. Yeah, I'll say, Paul Andrews, the fridge engineer.
Yeah.
Yeah, because.
Shut the door. Say, Gav, shut the door.
Yeah. Hey, Gav, Paul Andrews, I'm just on air on the Business Bunker, as you know.
Yeah.
Says that probably the fridge door was left open. And that's true because it often sticks.
Yeah, there you
send
go.
Send him a tenner because the advice might work.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll come and shut the door for you for 20 quid.
It's an integral. I can never say that word. Integral.
Integral.
Yeah. So, but the door, I've always noticed, does stick, and you have to be really careful. You could be onto something, Paul Andrews. Yeah.
Wow.
You could be.
Just call me technical genius.
So if the door wouldn't shut properly for 2 weeks...
Yeah.
Then it would cause it to ice up? No, because it would get hot, wouldn't it?
I think it would melt. Might have like a jam in the little drain at the back that you normally
have.
And that can cause it to frost.
Yeah.
But if it's pushed the door open...
I do keep jam in the fridge, but usually in a pot. You're right, because there's a little V thing.
There is,
As I left, I sailed off this morning, said bye, and left new husband doing things and looking after the dog. We've got Darcy the greyhound.
I don't think your door was shut properly.
I think you're right, and I should have got the kitchen man back, because I did notice that it's always been a problem.
Right.
That's the thing with integral.
Push it.
Well, I do, but do
other
people...
What do you mean integral? What's integral?
Well, the fridge doesn't...
It has integrity.
It's a very integral fridge. No, it doesn't look like a fridge. It's behind a larder. It's all hidden, darling, isn't it?
It's behind a larder.
Well, it's behind a door. It doesn't look like a fridge. It's a fridge in a cupboard.
It's built in. You've just got a door. You've got a door nailed to the front of the fridge. Come on, get off it. What's this middle class nonsense about integral fridges?
Like
you've got a fridge door and you've nailed a cabinet door to it.
Well, maybe that's the problem. Somebody's put a nail through it and then it's leaked.
Integral. I've got an integral
it's
fridge.
It's integral, like your dishwasher.
It's built in.
Well, it's integral, isn't
it? Yeah, they've just hung the cupboard door on the front of the fridge.
What do you call it?
Integrated.
Oh, yes. Okay. An even bigger word.
Yeah, integrated. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if I hadn't had so much Carver, I could probably say that. Maybe. But I've got the dog's teeth in today.
Yeah.
Integrated, they are. Yeah. And my dishwasher is also integrated.
Is it? Yeah. Does that leak as well?
No.
Okay.
But I will tell you, we were saying it was a full moon and all these things happen. Shay, when he was about 11, on Christmas Eve, walked on the dishwasher door as it was opened, fell on it, basically, on Christmas Eve. So, of course, that is the worst time for your door to be broken on a dishwasher. You know, as a woman, you do not want to have a middle-class problems, aren't
Yeah,
they?
Absolutely. Yeah.
First world problems.
Yeah. Do you know what? We're going to join the newsroom now. When we come back, we're going to bring decorum, professionalism,
tree fellas.
And everything, and tree fellas.
I bet they wear those little leather things as they go.